Well, good morning. Glad to have you here at Grace Baptist Church. Pastor Greg and Pastor Mike are both at snow camp this weekend with about 30 other youth. So let's just take a moment and pause and pray for them. Lord, we do surrender all this morning. We give you our hearts. We give you our lives. We turn it all over to you, Christ, for you are Savior and Lord of all. And this morning we pray for those who are at snow camp right now. I pray that as they are opening your word, as they're worshiping you with their whole hearts, I pray that you would just fill them with your love, that they would trust in you, and that they would grow closer to you this weekend. I pray for their safety as they return home and travel, and I pray that you would just bring them back to us safely. And I pray as we open your word right now, Lord, I pray that you would just speak into our hearts, that you would shape our lives to be the children that you've called us to be, and that as we reach out to those around us, Lord, that we would leave an impact that people cannot deny your love, Lord. I thank you for your love for us. In your name I pray. Amen. I also wanted to take a moment before I jumped into the sermon this morning and just share some exciting news that has happened this past week for Bree and I. On Wednesday, as most of you know, on Wednesday, our second child was born, Marshall Allen Mellon. And he was born on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. and weighed 7 pounds and 14 ounces. And mom and baby are both healthy and doing well. And they are at home. And Mercy is here with us this morning. And so they are at home and in recovery. And we appreciate all of your prayers and are very excited to watch as our little boy grows closer to Christ. And so we entrust him to the Lord. This morning, we're going to turn and look at what worship means and what does it mean to worship God. In Isaiah 29:13, we read that the Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is merely based on human rules that have been taught by men." Is your worship pleasing to God, or is it merely based on human rules that we have been taught? Did you know that not all worship is pleasing to God? Is your worship pleasing to God? If we're going to look at how we are supposed to live our lives in worship to God, first we need to have a better understanding of what worship is. So, what is worship? When most people think of worship, the first thing that they think of is music. That's what we just experienced this morning, and we're very grateful for Jeff and the team and Bryant and the choir to lead us in music and worship God in that way. Absolutely. So, if we're going to look at music, let's first look at what music is able to accomplish. A famous quote about music is, "The music speaks what cannot be expressed. It soothes the mind and it gives it rest. It heals the heart and makes it whole, and it flows from heaven to the soul." While the author of this quote is unknown, we do know that God's word also talks about the power of music. In Ephesians 5:19, it talks about music in this way, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Colossians 3:16 goes on even further to talk about music in this way, and it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Psalm 150 is a very clear description of our musical expression in praise to God. So let's read that together aloud this morning. "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals." And Bob certainly did a great job of that this morning as well. Well, it is certainly important that we lift our praises to God through singing. It cannot stop there. When we talk about worshiping God, we cannot define it as one single moment. We cannot define worship as 1 hour on a Sunday morning. Grant Norsworthy is a worship leader who I've learned so much about over the last few years. And he says this about worship. The word worship is never used in the Bible as an adjective, and it is hardly used as a noun. It is primarily used as a verb. Now, the difference between when I just said that versus when Grant says it, something that you need to know about Grant is that he has an Australian accent. And I'll tell you this, and I think Jeff can attest, anytime that a worship leader has an Australian accent, it just makes the worship that much more moving. So let's try that again. The word worship is never used in the Bible as an adjective, and it is hardly used as a noun. It is primarily used as a verb. Thank you. A verb is a word used to describe an action, a state, or an occurrence. Worship is an action. Worship is a movement. Worship is a process. Worship is a response. Worship is an expression in awe. In Matthew 22, we read that Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." While this verse does not directly mention the word worship, it does describe what our worship should be. It should be loving God. It should be giving him the glory that he alone is due. Worship is adoring or placing our affection or attention on God, to give God the glory and the worth due to him. Psalm 96 says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns." Amen? Clearly, this verse didn't have quite the same impact on you that it had on me the first time that I heard it used in a worship context. Take a listen to Vertical Church Worship use this same verse. Definitely doesn't have the same impact without sound. Give David a second, see if he can grab it. All right. So we will not have any impact on you this morning.
So ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns! Yes! His world is established, it will not be moved, and he will judge the peoples with equity.
As I said, again, clearly the Australians have it going for them. Well, I'm certainly only kidding. God does call us to ascribe all value and worth to him and to him alone. Worship is not for us. It's for the Creator from the created. When I got baptized several years ago, my sister, who's here with us this morning, made me a necklace. At the time, it had my life verse on it. I still have that necklace to this day. It's in the shape of a guitar pick, and it says two things on it that I have carried with me for my whole life. The first is, when words fail, music speaks. Clearly, music has always had an impact on my life. And up until a few years ago, if you had asked me to explain to you the second thing that was on that necklace, I might have answered in the same way that you might have answered this morning. When I was asked at the time that I was baptized, "What is worship?" I might have said, "Praising God through music." The issue with my necklace, and while I'm certainly glad that my sister made it for me, are two things were put together on that necklace that really need to be separated in our minds. Underneath the quote, "When words fail, music speaks," is also written Romans 12, 1 through 2. It says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." The Message, which is a paraphrase, not a word-for-word translation, puts it in this way. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. In my mind as a 12-year-old, worship equated to singing praises to God through music. Romans 12 says that our spiritual act of worship is to present our bodies, not just part of ourselves, not just the part that shows up here on Sunday mornings, not just the part that sings praises to God through songs while driving around in the car, not just the part of us that wants to worship Him. It's our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, our whole bodies as a living sacrifice. I don't know about you, but at first when I heard a living sacrifice, that confused me a little bit. It sounds an awful lot like a paradox. And what other paradox is our faith based upon? 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised." How can we possibly withhold surrendering our whole lives to Christ and worship of him when he gave his son so that we might live? God does not want our leftover praise on a Sunday morning. He wants to be the center of our praise. God doesn't want only 1 hour of our weeks spent with him and then the rest in our own selfish desires. He wants to be in a relationship with us that is flourishing and we are abiding in him. Amen? God doesn't want our tithes that we give begrudgingly. He wants our first fruits and our best offerings. Offering our lives to Christ as a living sacrifice is what he desires. It is what is holy and acceptable to him. So now that we have taken some time to define what true worship is, what are some steps that we can take to be sure that our worship is pleasing to God? The worship team here at Grace Baptist Church has a slogan or a motto, and that is, "It's more than the music." While music is certainly a huge, crucial aspect of our worship, it needs to be more than that. Dwayne Moore is another worship leader who I have been learning so much from over the last few years. He runs a program called Next Level Worship International. And I have been going through some training courses with Dwayne, and I would like to use some of his teachings with his permission to expound a bit more upon this. Turning back to Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly within, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This verse takes us through the progression of worship, through the three steps of worship. The first aspect of worship is inward. Everyone say inward. Inward. The second aspect is upward. Everyone say upward. Upward. The third aspect is outward. Let's say outward. Outward. This is the progression of worship from the inside to the outside. It begins with us. Reading Colossians again, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly," where? Within. You can be sure that your worship is pleasing to God if it starts within your heart. It cannot just happen on a Sunday morning and then not throughout the rest of the week or the rest of our lives. How do we behave when no one is watching? There needs to be a fire within our souls. Let the message of Christ heat up our souls from the inside. and it needs to heat us up so much that we have to pour out like a teapot. When we heat up from within with the love of Christ, we should have no choice but to pour out our praise. Dwayne would typically have a teapot boiling in the background, and he advised me not to do this with good reason. But when he has the pot of water boiling, at some point throughout the sermon, it begins to whistle, begins to steam, and begins to pour out. It cannot be contained within. Now, Dwayne did advise me not to do this because he said one time when he was in Africa, well, some of the curtains apparently caught on fire. So we're not going to go there this morning. But Psalm 45:1 does say, "My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king." The word stirred in this verse is defined as boil or bubble. When our hearts get on fire for God, our praise begins to overflow. It isn't forced or pressured. It's a natural outpouring of our praise to our Savior. This brings us to our second step in the progression of our worship, upward worship. Everyone say upward. Just want to make sure you're all staying awake. You can be sure that your worship is pleasing to God if you are lifting your praises upward. Colossians continues on with admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart. Pastor Greg has talked multiple times about how we behave at a sporting event or a concert versus how we respond in praise to God on a Sunday morning. Psalm 47:1 says, "Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy." When someone gets saved, or when God is speaking into our lives, or when we feel moved at the end of a song, we are to praise God through clapping and rejoicing. When we don't respond to the greatness of God and what he has done, that's just plain weird. And while we certainly want to be respectful of those around us, we also need to remember that there is no better time to lift our praises to God, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when we are with other believers. We are also called to bow down, to sing our praises through hymns and spiritual songs, to lift our hands.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying. You're like, I can't. I want to. Tim, I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us. Feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're at my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. Got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite.
The circle of life.
Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. Now And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village People, Rocky, touchdown. There you go. There's your big three. You're set.
There's a variety of people in our congregation, and God has given us a variety of ways to praise him. There are actually 8 ways in the Bible to praise God. And while we are certainly not commanded to praise God in all of these ways, Dwayne does say that the goal is not to get everyone to lift their hands, but our goal is to be obedient and let the praises come out. However it comes out, it comes out. With all of these different ways, I do encourage you to lift your praises as you feel led. If the congregation is sitting and you feel led to stand, as James so often does, then I encourage you to stand. If you need time to reflect on the words or are simply uncomfortable standing, then I encourage you to sit and continue lifting your praises to God as you are seated and worshiping him. If you want to encourage someone who sings a solo with applause for what God is doing, or are blessed by the beautiful prelude that Gloria or Dave or Beth play, or if you even want to sing along when the choir is singing and lift the praises with them, then I encourage you to join in with these people and to worship God with your whole heart. If you want to encourage someone who accepts Christ as their Savior, then clap and cheer and rejoice as if you were at the football game. And if you feel led to fall on your knees before the little infant king and to praise him, then it's time to set aside your pride and to worship him. I certainly do encourage you to respect those around you, but I want to encourage you even more to remember that we are made to worship the Creator. This brings us to the third aspect of worship. It's outward worship. Everyone say outward. You can be sure that your worship is pleasing to God if you are pouring out God's love on his children. Outward is the hardest one to understand, in my opinion. Colossians says, whatever you do, in word or deed, whatever you do. Inward is our hearts. Our hearts should be changed when we receive Christ as our Savior. Upward, I totally understand. I've been having the musical side of me lift praises to God since I was young. But outward is what stretches us. Outward is what we were left on this earth to do. Grant Norsworthy, who I mentioned earlier, works closely with a group called Compassion International. Our worship is not just in our hearts or in our promise to God or in our praise to God. Our worship is how we treat the poor, how we love the needy, how we care for the sick. The worship team a few months ago here at Grace Baptist Church started supporting little Johnny Myrtle. Johnny is 11 years old. He's from Haiti, and he loves soccer and listening to Bible stories. When I first presented this idea to the team to support Johnny, I was nervous about what the response would be. Our team already gives so much and has servant hearts that asking them to give yet again had me a doubt. But I have to say, I have been blown away by the generosity of the team when every month we have far exceeded the needed amount to support Johnny. I have been overwhelmed by the team lifting Johnny in prayer and concern. And at this point, we are even considering supporting a second child in the near future. Earlier, we read Matthew 22, which says that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord. The same passage continues on that the second commandment is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Whatever we do with our lives, if it is laid out in sacrifice before God, it is accepted as worship. While I am sure that many of you might support a compassion child or some other child, I don't want you to stop there. You might support some of our missionaries, or you might support some other nonprofit ministry. And these are all great causes. And so is Compassion International, and so is the worship team supporting Johnny. But it cannot stop there. Matthew 25:40 says, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Going back to Romans, God is not asking for just $38 a month to support Johnny. God is asking for our whole lives in sacrifice. God wants to fill our hearts with his love, to fill ourselves with thanksgiving so that we have no choice but to overflow and pour out our praise, to lay aside our pride and our selfishness, and to help those in need, to love and to protect his children. If what is inside is truly worshiping God, then that's what's going to bubble out on those around us. Pastor Greg is preaching right now on taming the tongue in James. What comes out of our mouths is rooted in our hearts. Controlling your tongue starts with transforming your heart and your thoughts. You need to ask God to change your heart in order to bridle your tongue. Pastor Greg just read this verse last Sunday, and I'm going to read it again. James 1:26 says, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." The word religion, or religious here, is defined in the Greek language as thraiskeia. Everyone say thraiskeia. It's just fun to say. So let's look at that same verse again in James 1:26. It says, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." If we replace the word religion or religious with the proper definition of thraiskeia, it says, "If anyone thinks he is a worshiper and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's worship is worthless." To have worship that is pleasing to God, we need to put a bit into our tongue and to control it. Remember, our worship is our whole lives and sacrifice. That includes our words as well. Pastor Greg also read James 3:4, where it talks about how our tongue, being so small like a ship rudder, is so powerful. The rudder can easily steer the ship in the wrong direction, as can our tongues if we let it be filled with unwholesome speech. As Pastor Greg said last week, the tongue has the power to direct your life. When our hearts are not focused on worshiping Christ, it is reflected in all other aspects of our lives. Psalm 51:16 through 17 says, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." The Message paraphrases the same verse in this way: going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives, ready for love, don't for a moment escape God's notice. Amen? So what is the question? Are our worship services pleasing to God or not? Are our tithes honoring to God or not? It depends on where the praise is being poured out from. Are you like me? And when I was younger, I thought that Christ was only pleased when I worshiped him through song. If we are filling our hearts internally with gratitude towards God, then when we lift our praises heaven upwardly towards heaven, our impact on those who experience God's love outwardly around us will be honoring and pleasing to our Father in heaven. I encourage you to examine your heart each week, to spend time in prayer before Christ. And before you lift your praises heavenward, focus on your heart and let Christ's love change your attitude toward those who you interact with during the week. I'd like to close this morning with a quote from John Wimber, who is a musician, a Quaker, and a pastor. He said, "Show me where you spend your time, money, and energy, and I'll tell you what you worship." As the worship team comes on stage, I want to close in prayer. Lord, I ask that you would just inspect our hearts. I ask that you would fill us with your love, that we would have no choice but to pour out our praises to you and to pour out your love on those around us, Lord. I pray that you would just shape our lives, that going forward that we would turn to you for the direction that we need. That we would become your children who are so overwhelmed by your love that we have no choice but to love those around us, Lord. I do pray for the continued safety of those coming back from snow camp, Lord. And I pray for each one of us here that you would just open our minds, open our hearts, and that we would further pour out what you have for us on those who we come in contact with. I pray all this in your precious son's name. And everyone said, amen. In closing this morning, I've asked Jake to sing a song that I hope will really capture what God is saying to our hearts. As you reflect on the words of this song, I encourage you to let God enter into your heart. I encourage you to lift your praises as you feel led. And if that means you feel led to stand and to sing along with Jake, then you are welcome to do so. But if that also means that you need time to sit and inspect your heart and see where you are placing your time, your money, and your energy, make sure that you clear the stage and you worship God with more than a song. Worship Him with your whole life.